University of Cambridge International Examinations. International General Certificate of Secondary Education, November Examination Session, 2007. English as a Second Language. Paper 4. Listening Comprehension. Welcome to the exam. In a moment, your teacher is going to give out the question papers. When you get your paper, fill in your center number, candidate number, and name on the front page. Do not talk to anyone during the test. If you would like the tape to be louder, tell your teacher now. The tape will not be stopped while you're doing the test. Teacher, please give out the question papers, and when all the candidates are ready to start the test, please turn the tape back on. Now you are all ready. Here is the test. Look at the questions for part 1. There are 6 questions in this part of the exam. For each question, you will hear the situation described as it is on your exam paper. You will hear each item twice. Part 1. Questions 1 to 6. For questions 1 to 6, you will hear a series of short sentences. Answer each question on the line provided. Your answer should be as brief as possible. You will hear each item twice. Question 1. You are looking for the college office. Where exactly is it located?
You want to register for a course? You need the college office, but it's not in this building. It's on the seafront, next to the town hall. Go left out of here and walk the whole length of the road. At the end, turn right, and that brings you onto the promenade. It will only take you about 5 minutes. You want to register for a course? You need the college office, but it's not in this building. It's on the seafront, next to the town hall. Go left out of here and walk the whole length of the road. At the end, turn right, and that brings you onto the promenade. It will only take you about 5 minutes.
Question 2. Why do the friends decide to ice skate?
What would you like to do tomorrow? Shall we go to the cinema, the shops, or swim at the sports centre? Or would you rather eat a pizza in that new cafe?
Let's do them all. We'll swim first, then pizza and shopping, and we'll finish with a film. Oh, but I've already seen that one in town.
Then let's go to the evening session at the ice rink instead. I haven't skated for a long while.
Agreed. An excellent idea.
What would you like to do tomorrow? Shall we go to the cinema, the shops, or swim at the sports centre? Or would you rather eat a pizza in that new cafe?
Let's do them all. We'll swim first, then pizza and shopping, and we'll finish with a film. Oh, but I've already seen that one in town.
Then let's go to the evening session at the ice rink instead. I haven't skated for a long while.
Agreed. An excellent idea.
Question 3. Why might there be a problem if Salka and Tom travel on the later train? Give 2 details.
Hello, Salka. Where are you? Our train leaves in 10 minutes. It's the one which connects directly with the ferry.
I'm on my way, Tom. I'll run. I am rather late. I'll be with you in a few minutes.
Well, there's another train in half an hour, but it is a slow stopping service, and we would have to wait for the next ferry then. Hello, Salka. Where are you? Our train leaves in 10 minutes. It's the one which connects directly with the ferry.
I'm on my way, Tom. I'll run. I am rather late. I'll be with you in a few minutes.
Well, there's another train in half an hour, but it is a slow stopping service, and we would have to wait for the next ferry then.
Question 4. How might the weather be for the college centenary celebrations on Monday afternoon?
And here is the rest of the weather forecast. Saturday fine, turning to rain overnight and throughout Sunday. Becoming thundery during Sunday evening and the first few hours of Monday. Then becoming gradually dry and bright at dawn with light winds and remaining stable for the rest of the day. And here is the rest of the weather forecast. Saturday fine, turning to rain overnight and throughout Sunday. Becoming thundery during Sunday evening and the first few hours of Monday. Then becoming gradually dry and bright at dawn with light winds and remaining stable for the rest of the day.
Question 5. How will Daisuke be able to watch the play on television?
Hey Daisuke, that play we're reading in the English lessons is on television tonight.
Oh no, I won't be able to see it. It's our end-of-term concert.
Don't worry. It's repeated on Sunday afternoon. You can watch it then. Hey, Daisuke. That play we're reading in the English lessons is on television tonight.
Oh, no. I won't be able to see it. It's our end-of-term concert.
Don't worry. It's repeated on Sunday afternoon. You can watch it then.
Question 6. How will the advice available during the careers evening help you in your choice of subjects for further study?
And don't forget to come and find out about universities at our careers evening. Make an appointment with a careers advisor and discuss your chosen career path. This should help you decide which subjects you need to study in the next 2 years. And don't forget to come and find out about universities at our careers evening. Make an appointment with a careers advisor and discuss your chosen career path. This should help you decide which subjects you need to study in the next 2 years.
That is the last question in part one. In a moment you will hear part two. Now look at the questions for part two, exercise one. Part 2. Part 2, Exercise 1. Question 7. Listen to the following interview about a hands-on technology centre and then complete the details below. You will hear the interview twice.
Are you looking for something different to do during the holidays? Well, here is a suggestion for a visit which will challenge your mind. Professor Bond is the director of this exciting new project, which has just opened its doors to the public.
Yes, come and visit us at our InTech Centre. The name means get to know about technology. A famous scientist said, "The hand is the cutting edge of the mind," and this saying has become the centre of our advertisements. We believe in that, and so we've set up 100 exhibits in our new purpose-built centre, each one of which will create a true hands-on learning experience for the visitor.
You mean that by handling complex scientific ideas and seeing how they work, it's easier to learn about them?
Exactly so. For example, when you visit us, you can investigate how to bend light using prisms. All the equipment you need is there for you. Usually there are no queues, as we have plenty of experiments for everybody in our huge exhibition centre. You can become a human battery in one of our experiments and understand how electricity can be produced by the human body. The explanations are all there for you in clear language. You don't need a guide or anyone to explain it to you.
It sounds fascinating. Is your centre suitable for families or just for adults?
There's something there for every age group, from toddlers to parents and grandparents. So bring a whole group of people. The most important requirement is that you have an inquiring mind and that you want to find out about the worlds of science, technology, maths and engineering.
And I see that your motto is, doing is believing. That seems very apt for what you offer to the public. Do you also run a programme of events, perhaps?
Yes, new projects are always being trialled, and then we run workshops where you can, for example, make a solar-powered model to take home. Some evenings we hold guest lectures. We have a special hall for this, which seats 200 people. We call these talks Science for All, with the aim of promoting the love and study of science at every level. Our last topic was why Eskimos don't build skyscrapers.
It all sounds really interesting. How long does it take to explore the world of technology at your centre, then?
As long as you can spare. But you really need at least 2 hours. Remember, there is a choice of 100 exhibits. If you become tired, then have some refreshment in our cafe area and then start again.
How can we visit you, then?
We're open 51 weeks of the year, 7 days a week, from 10 till 4. But for entry details, admission fees and information about our special events and lectures, visit our website, www.intech.com.
Now you will hear the interview again.
Are you looking for something different to do during the holidays? Well, here is a suggestion for a visit which will challenge your mind. Professor Bond is the director of this exciting new project which has just opened its doors to the public.
Yes, come and visit us at our InTech Centre. The name means get to know about technology. A famous scientist said, "The hand is the cutting edge of the mind," and this saying has become the centre of our advertisements. We believe in that, and so we've set up 100 exhibits in our new purpose-built centre, each one of which will create a true hands-on learning experience for the visitor.
You mean that by handling complex scientific ideas and seeing how they work, it's easier to learn about them?
Exactly so. For example, when you visit us, you can investigate how to bend light using prisms. All the equipment you need is there for you. Usually there are no queues, as we have plenty of experiments for everybody in our huge exhibition centre. You can become a human battery in one of our experiments and understand how electricity can be produced by the human body. The explanations are all there for you in clear language. You don't need a guide or anyone to explain it to you.
It sounds fascinating. Is your centre suitable for families or just for adults?
There's something there for every age group, from toddlers to parents and grandparents. So bring a whole group of people. The most important requirement is that you have an inquiring mind and that you want to find out about the worlds of science, technology, maths and engineering.
And I see that your motto is, doing is believing. That seems very apt for what you offer to the public. Do you also run a programme of events, perhaps?
Yes, new projects are always being trialled, and then we run workshops where you can, for example, make a solar-powered model to take home. Some evenings we hold guest lectures. We have a special hall for this, which seats 200 people. We call these talks Science for All, with the aim of promoting the love and study of science at every level. Our last topic was why Eskimos don't build skyscrapers.
It all sounds really interesting. How long does it take to explore the world of technology at your centre, then?
As long as you can spare. But you really need at least 2 hours. Remember, there is a choice of 100 exhibits. If you become tired, then have some refreshment in our cafe area and then start again.
How can we visit you, then?
We're open 51 weeks of the year, 7 days a week, from 10 till 4. But for entry details, admission fees and information about our special events and lectures, visit our website, www.intech.com.
That is the end of Part 2, Exercise 1. In a moment you will hear Part 2, Exercise 2. Now look at the questions for Exercise 2. Part 2, Exercise 2. Question 8. Listen to the following interview about finding fossils, and then complete the details below. You will hear the interview twice.
Welcome to Science World. We all know that fossils are remains of animals of the past, which are now extinct, and most of us might find a couple of them among rocks on the beach. Some people, however, are lucky enough to have fossil finding as a career. Today we're meeting an expert and professional fossil hunter, the warden of a section of coast known as the Jurassic Coast. Ruth Bailey, tell us, what does being a coast warden mean?
I am responsible for looking after a piece of coastline and helping to protect it, by launching educational campaigns for the public to promote safe fossil hunting and care for the whole coastal environment.
It must be a very interesting and fulfilling job.
Mm.
Can you tell us how your area got the name of Jurassic Coast, please?
Of course. Our beaches here are full of fossils, some of which originated 170 million years ago, in the so-called Jurassic period, when dinosaurs roamed the Earth.
That's incredible, to think that the area which you work in contains fossilised creatures which were alive at the same time as dinosaurs.
There are many, many fossils to be found on this stretch of coastline. You might come across the imprint of a Jurassic fern plant, or find a lovely coiled ammonite. A fossil is just an animal which has become transformed into stone, really. So look carefully as you take each step. You might make the find of a century.
Lots of people have done so here, haven't they?
Yes. The world-famous fossilist Mary Anning lived here in the early 1800s. She saved her family from poverty by finding and selling fossils.
Ah. So where is the best place to find a rare fossil?
Our 95-mile stretch of coastline has something to offer in each of its bays and expanses of cliff face, whether it is a dinosaur footprint or a unique fossil. As the sea crashes relentlessly against the cliff, more and more fossils are revealed easily for collectors to find.
What a wonderful opportunity. So, how would the visitor to your area know how to start looking for fossils?
First, a warning. Be careful, because the whole Jurassic area is slowly falling into the sea as the rocks and cliffs are eroded by time, weather and tide. This coast is very unsafe for climbing.
Surely you don't just let people hammer at the cliffs anywhere they want to.
Over the years, that has happened, of course, and mindless theft of fossils has left the cliffs and paths dangerous and vulnerable to landslides in some parts. So we set up a series of museums and visitor centres along the coastal path to help conserve the cliffs. These centres provide information on how to hunt for fossils. We call this the Fossil Code, and an identification service too.
Do you mean, if I find a fossil, they will tell me what it is?
Exactly. They will also show you how to dig safely for fossils.
You mean not climbing up cliff faces?
Exactly, especially after wet weather, when there are often landslides. You must also beware of the tides. You don't want to be left clinging to a cliff face with the incoming tide cutting you off for another 12 hours and no way of escape.
I will be careful.
Also, you need to know that the best place to look is among recently collapsed rocks on the shore. Happy fossil hunting. Hope you find something really rare. If you do, you will need to register your find at one of our museums. So be careful and take good care of the environment too as you search and dig.
Now you will hear the interview again.
Welcome to Science World. We all know that fossils are remains of animals of the past, which are now extinct, and most of us might find a couple of them among rocks on the beach. Some people, however, are lucky enough to have fossil finding as a career. Today we're meeting an expert and professional fossil hunter, the warden of a section of coast known as the Jurassic Coast. Ruth Bailey, tell us, what does being a coast warden mean?
I am responsible for looking after a piece of coastline and helping to protect it by launching educational campaigns for the public to promote safe fossil hunting and care for the whole coastal environment.
It must be a very interesting and fulfilling job.
Mm.
Can you tell us how your area got the name of Jurassic Coast, please?
Of course. Our beaches here are full of fossils, some of which originated 170 million years ago, in the so-called Jurassic period, when dinosaurs roamed the Earth.
That's incredible, to think that the area which you work in contains fossilised creatures which were alive at the same time as dinosaurs.
There are many, many fossils to be found on this stretch of coastline. You might come across the imprint of a Jurassic fern plant, or find a lovely coiled ammonite. A fossil is just an animal which has become transformed into stone, really. So look carefully as you take each step. You might make the find of a century.
Lots of people have done so here, haven't they?
Yes. The world-famous fossilist Mary Anning lived here in the early 1800s. She saved her family from poverty by finding and selling fossils.
Ah. So, where is the best place to find a rare fossil?
Our 95-mile stretch of coastline has something to offer in each of its bays and expanses of cliff face, whether it is a dinosaur footprint or a unique fossil. As the sea crashes relentlessly against the cliff, more and more fossils are revealed easily for collectors to find.
What a wonderful opportunity. So, how would the visitor to your area know how to start looking for fossils?
First, a warning. Be careful, because the whole Jurassic area is slowly falling into the sea as the rocks and cliffs are eroded by time, weather and tide. Mm. This coast is very unsafe for climbing.
Surely you don't just let people hammer at the cliffs anywhere they want to?
Over the years, that has happened, of course. And mindless theft of fossils has left the cliffs and paths dangerous and vulnerable to landslides in some parts. So we set up a series of museums and visitor centres along the coastal path to help conserve the cliffs. These centres provide information on how to hunt for fossils. We call this the Fossil Code, and an identification service too.
Do you mean if I find a fossil, they will tell me what it is?
Exactly. They will also show you how to dig safely for fossils.
You mean not climbing up cliff faces?
Exactly. Especially after wet weather, when there are often landslides. You must also beware of the tides. You don't want to be left clinging to a cliff face with the incoming tide cutting you off for another 12 hours and no way of escape.
I will be careful.
Also, you need to know that the best place to look is among recently collapsed rocks on the shore. Happy fossil hunting. Hope you find something really rare. If you do, you will need to register your find at one of our museums. So be careful and take good care of the environment too as you search and dig.
That is the end of part two. In a moment you will hear part three. Now look at the questions for part three, exercise one. Part 3. Part 3. Exercise 1. Question 9. Listen to the following interview with the nutritionist and then answer the questions below. You will hear the interview twice.
Good evening and welcome to Healthy Eating. Tonight, we welcome nutritionist André Weiss, who is going to talk to us about the world's favourite fruit, bananas.
That's right. Bananas are versatile, full of vitamins and easy to digest. And they come complete with their own biodegradable packaging. What more could you ask for?
A healthy fast food, then.
That describes the banana very well.
Tell us exactly why bananas are so good for our health.
One banana gives you fibre, vitamin C and B6 and potassium, which is thought to be helpful in controlling blood pressure.
Aren't they full of fructose?
Yes. Fructose is a natural sugar found in fruit. But this fruit sugar is good for you. It releases slowly into the bloodstream. For example, if you slice up a banana and eat it with your breakfast cereal, it will keep you going all morning, and you won't have to reach for your biscuits and chocolate bars mid-morning.
I'll give that a try, but I think I'll still have the chocolate bar as well. Are bananas really the most popular fruit in the world?
They certainly are. In some countries, the banana alone accounts for more than a third of all the fruit eaten.
I've seen bananas in our local supermarket with a fair trading label on them.
Yes, and those are the ones to buy. The company which carries out fair trading ensures that all farmers are guaranteed a consistent, fair price for their crops.
Should we buy green bananas or yellow bananas? Lots of people eat them when the skin is nearly black and the fruit is very soft and sweet, don't they?
Yes, and some prefer the opposite, buying only greenish bananas. But bananas ripen really quickly, so however you like your bananas, you should buy them underripe, that is green.
My mother always puts a banana in a bag with pears or peaches which aren't ripe.
Yes, that's because bananas give off a gas called ethylene when ripening, and that helps other fruits to become ripe too. Look for those unusual red bananas too, which are also called apple bananas. They are hard to find in the shops, but are worth trying as they taste so nice.
So would you encourage us all to eat a banana every day?
Yes, put one in your lunchbox. Or chop it up and add to a fruit salad. Or bake a lovely banana cake. Or put bananas into a delicious curry.
You have convinced us that bananas are an incredibly convenient addition to a healthy diet, and just right for us all in our busy, stress-filled lives. Thank you.
Now you will hear the interview again.
Good evening and welcome to Healthy Eating. Tonight we welcome nutritionist Andre Weiss, who is going to talk to us about the world's favourite fruit, bananas.
That's right. Bananas are versatile, full of vitamins and easy to digest. And they come complete with their own biodegradable packaging. What more could you ask for?
A healthy fast food, then.
That describes the banana very well.
Tell us exactly why bananas are so good for our health.
One banana gives you fibre, vitamin C and B6 and potassium, which is thought to be helpful in controlling blood pressure.
Aren't they full of fructose?
Yes. Fructose is a natural sugar found in fruit. But this fruit sugar is good for you. It releases slowly into the bloodstream. For example, if you slice up a banana and eat it with your breakfast cereal, it will keep you going all morning and you won't have to reach for your biscuits and chocolate bars mid-morning.
I'll give that a try, but I think I'll still have the chocolate bar as well. Are bananas really the most popular fruit in the world?
They certainly are. In some countries, the banana alone accounts for more than a third of all the fruit eaten.
I've seen bananas in our local supermarket with a fair trading label on them.
Yes, and those are the ones to buy. The company which carries out fair trading ensures that all farmers are guaranteed a consistent, fair price for their crops.
Should we buy green bananas or yellow bananas? Lots of people eat them when the skin is nearly black, and the fruit is very soft and sweet, don't they?
Yes, and some prefer the opposite, buying only greenish bananas. But bananas ripen really quickly, so however you like your bananas, you should buy them underripe, that is green.
My mother always puts a banana in a bag with pears or peaches which aren't ripe.
Yes, that's because bananas give off a gas called ethylene when ripening. And that helps other fruits to become ripe too. Look for those unusual red bananas too, which are also called apple bananas. They are hard to find in the shops, but are worth trying as they taste so nice.
So would you encourage us all to eat a banana every day?
Yes, put one in your lunchbox. Or chop it up and add to a fruit salad. Or bake a lovely banana cake. Or put bananas into a delicious curry.
You have convinced us that bananas are an incredibly convenient addition to a healthy diet, and just right for us all in our busy, stress-filled lives. Thank you.
That is the end of part 3, exercise 1. In a moment you will hear exercise 2. Now look at the questions for exercise 2. Part 3. Exercise 2. Question 10. Listen to the following talk about a new type of car, and then answer the questions below. You will hear the talk twice.
When cars were first invented, these machines were thought to be so dangerous that a man had to walk in front of them carrying a red flag to warn pedestrians or passers-by to watch out. Today, technology has advanced so far that a car no longer even needs a person at the wheel. The first self-steering car in the world has been launched in Japan and is about to steer itself into our local garages for the consumer to purchase. The driver of this new car will be able to sit back and allow the automatic chauffeur to follow a motorway and keep a safe distance from other vehicles. This self-steering car has been developed with the aim of reducing the stress of long journeys. The company which is marketing this idea says that within 10 years it could be standard across all new model ranges in the world. Sounds unbelievable, doesn't it? The advantages, though, are huge. This invention could be the biggest aid to driver safety yet discovered. The car will stay in between the white lines with the help of a tiny camera behind the rear view mirror. This camera watches the road, as a human driver does, and feeds signals to a computer behind the dashboard. There is a device for keeping the correct speed, and for slowing if the vehicle in front applies its brakes suddenly. It seems as if a human driver could sleep away a journey in the future, but that is not so. Drivers must keep contact with the steering wheel. If they let go for more than 10 seconds, an alarm sounds, and the whole system shuts down, stopping the car safely. This is because this new invention is not to replace the human driver, but to simply make long journeys easier and to reduce accidents caused by tired drivers. The system only comes into operation at 60 kilometers per hour, which is why it's only really suitable for motorway driving. If the road becomes full of bends, then the system shuts down and warns the driver to take control. Inventors are working on an advanced form of steering control which could steer motorists through busy city centres, but this will not be fully developed for another 5 years. Perhaps drivers will become a thing of the past, or will they? Car manufacturers won't want to be held responsible for accidents which can be blamed on the car rather than on the driver who has failed to stop or take evasive action.
Now you will hear the talk again.
When cars were first invented, these machines were thought to be so dangerous that a man had to walk in front of them carrying a red flag to warn pedestrians or passers-by to watch out. Today, technology has advanced so far that a car no longer even needs a person at the wheel. The first self-steering car in the world has been launched in Japan and is about to steer itself into our local garages for the consumer to purchase. The driver of this new car will be able to sit back and allow the automatic chauffeur to follow a motorway and keep a safe distance from other vehicles. This self-steering car has been developed with the aim of reducing the stress of long journeys. The company which is marketing this idea says that within 10 years it could be standard across all new model ranges in the world. Sounds unbelievable, doesn't it? The advantages, though, are huge. This invention could be the biggest aid to driver safety yet discovered. The car will stay in between the white lines with the help of a tiny camera behind the rear-view mirror. This camera watches the road, as a human driver does, and feeds signals to a computer behind the dashboard. There is a device for keeping the correct speed, and for slowing if the vehicle in front applies its brakes suddenly. It seems as if a human driver could sleep away a journey in the future, but that is not so. Drivers must keep contact with the steering wheel. If they let go for more than 10 seconds, an alarm sounds and the whole system shuts down, stopping the car safely. This is because this new invention is not to replace the human driver, but to simply make long journeys easier and to reduce accidents caused by tired drivers. The system only comes into operation at 60 kilometers per hour, which is why it's only really suitable for motorway driving. If the road becomes full of bends, then the system shuts down and warns the driver to take control. Inventors are working on an advanced form of steering control which could steer motorists through busy city centres, but this will not be fully developed for another 5 years. Perhaps drivers will become a thing of the past, or will they? Car manufacturers won't want to be held responsible for accidents which can be blamed on the car rather than on the driver who has failed to stop or take evasive action.
That is the end of part 3 and of the test. In a moment, your teacher will stop the tape and collect your papers. Please check that you have written your name, center number, and candidate number on the front of your question paper. Remember, you must not talk until all the papers have been collected. Teacher, the tape should now be stopped and all papers collected. Thank you, everyone.